Let's just commit our time, please, to the Lord. In word of opening prayer, let's all pray. Eternal God and our Father, we come to Thee today, and then through our Savior's precious name, and we ask, O God, for Your help and for Your presence. Lord, right at the very outset of this morning worship service, come, O God, we pray, be one of our number. And Lord, pour out Your Spirit upon us. So hear and answer prayer for us. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. Our opening hymn of praise, the words of hymn number 7 on our hymn books, and the words will be on the screen. To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son. We'll stand together as we sing this opening hymn, please. Let's unite our hearts together, please, in a word of prayer. Let's all seek His help and His presence with us this morning. Heavenly Father, we come to Thee today to give Thee all the glory and all the praise, for Thou alone art worthy. We come, O God, to thank Thee and to praise Thee for Thy goodness and for Thy mercy toward us another day. We thank the Lord for the health and the strength You've given to us to be in the house of God. And Heavenly Father, we thank Thee this morning that as we come to Thee, we come to the One who knows all about us, the One who knows our need. Lord, even before we ask, O God, we thank Thee that You know what we need. And yet, O God, we thank Thee as well that You can meet that need. You can provide that need. And Heavenly Father, we pray that for this time of worship, we just cry unto Thee this morning that You'll come and meet us, O God, we pray.
Heavenly Father, we pray that this day we might know that we're in the presence of God. Heavenly Father, we pray that we might not merely go through the rituals or motions, but, oh God, we pray that today we might come to Thee, Lord, with that those clean hands and that pure heart. Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll speak to us. Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll minister to us. Heavenly Father, we cry unto Thee today that You'll come and, Lord, do our hearts good as we would worship Thee today. Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for each one who has been enabled to gather in the house of God this morning. We thank Thee, Lord, for health and strength, for safety, Lord, in the roads as we've traveled. We praise Thee, Lord, for all of these things. But, O God, most of all, we pray that this day we might hear the voice of God. Lord, that this day we might feel the presence of the Lord being amongst us. O God, we pray that You'll come, O God, we pray, by Thy Holy Spirit, brood over this place. Take control, Lord, of every aspect of it. Lord, we thank Thee already for the boys and girls who've been in the Sunday school. We thank the Lord for the young people in the Bible class. Lord, speak on, we pray. Lord God, we pray that You'll just save those that are not saved. And Lord, for those that are saved, lead them on with Thyself. And Father, we pray that You'll remember all of our children, all of our young people at this time. We commit them to Thee. Lord, keep Your hand upon them for good. Oh God, we pray that You'll keep them from the things of this world. And Lord, we pray for those that are saved. Lord, we pray that You'll help them and encourage them. And Lord, we pray that as they seek to serve Thee, as they seek to live for Thee in their schools, in their colleges, their universities, wherever, Lord, we pray that You'll encourage them and stand with them. We pray, Lord, today for those who are far from God. Lord, we pray that You'll bring them back to their first love. Heavenly Father, we pray for the Lord, the backslider today, Lord, those who have wandered from Thee. Oh God, we pray that You will be pleased today to make them miserable in their sin. Lord, we pray that You'll give them that love once again for Thee and for Thy Word. Our Father, we pray that You'll remember we cannot gather with us today, Lord, so many at this time in our congregation who are unwell. Touch them in their bodies. Lord, we pray that You'll lay Your healing hand upon them. And, oh God, we pray that You'll come alongside. And, Lord, we pray that they might know the touch of the Master's hand. Remember Laura today in hospital. Touch her, we pray, and answer prayer for her. And Lord, for the many who are unwell in their own homes and those in nursing care today, Lord, we pray that You'll minister to them. Remember, Lord, those who are carrying a heavy burden of sorrow and grief. Lord, we think especially today of our dear sister Helen. Lord, we pray that You'll draw to her and comfort her heart at this time. And bless her, Lord, we pray. And Lord, we pray that You'll just speak those words of peace and comfort to her, we ask. Remember all the family, Lord, as they grieve and as they mourn. We pray, Lord, that You'll be their comfort and, Lord, that You'll be their peace at this time. Oh God, we thank Thee that in the midst of the shadows of grief and sorrow, that we can find the Savior who is the one who sympathizes with us. Our Father, we pray that You'll bless the work of God throughout this week, we pray. Remember, in Hollywood this afternoon, bless the Sunday school there. We ask, O God, for the gospel service this evening. O God, we pray that You'll come up with us. Lord, we cry unto Thee. Lord, that even as this week we have spent this time with Thee in prayer, O God, we pray that You'll give us those 10 families. Lord, that You'll give us those 10 souls. And Heavenly Father, we pray that we'll see the work of God go forward, Lord, in this area and across this city. Our Father, we pray You'll be pleased to answer prayer. Remember those who are faithfully serving Thee. We pray, Lord, for every sister congregation of the Free Church. We pray, Lord, for every faithful herald of the gospel. Encourage them and be with them today. Remember our brother Philip over there in London today. We ask, O God, that You'll encourage him. And Lord, we pray for all the works in the mainland. Encourage, Lord, those little works. Lord, those works that are struggling. And Lord, we pray that there might be signs to follow the preaching of the gospel of Christ. And so, our Father, we ask, O God, that You'll come with us, help us, and do our hearts good. We pray, Lord, You'll bless Billy as he administers to us in song. Encourage him, we pray, and just give him great help. Bless us around the Word of God. And we pray, Lord, that today we might leave this place knowing that God has been with us. So hear and answer prayer. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask Billy to come and sing his first few pieces for us just now. Thank you, Billy, and the Lord bless you.
the throne of God above. I have a strong, a perfect plea, a great high priest whose name is love. Whoever lives and pleads for me, my name is graven on his hands, my name is written on his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no tongue can bid me thence depart, no tongue can bid me thence depart. Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within. Upward I look and see him there who made an end of all my sin. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me, to look on him and pardon me. Behold him there, the risen Lamb, my perfect spotless righteousness, the great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace. One with himself I cannot die, my soul is purchased by his blood, my life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and Christ my Savior and my God. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gift have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom.
Thanks to Billy for ministering to us in song. Certainly blessed and encouraged by those messages in song. The Lord bless you as you have sought to be a blessing to us. We'll hear from him in just a moment's time as well. Can I ask you please to turn with me in the Word of God this morning to the book of Hebrews. Book of Hebrews in the chapter 12. Hebrews in the chapter 12. We continue for just another few weeks on the series that we've been in now for this past number of months of Help for Hurting Christians. And I want to look at the subject this morning of bitterness. Let's read the Word of God, book of Hebrews chapter 12. And we will read from the verse number 11. Hebrews chapter 12 and the verse number 11. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man can see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded, and if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and to the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to bless the reading of his word to all of our hearts. At this stage, let me welcome you all in the Saviour's name. We're glad to see you in the house of God this morning. And we welcome you warmly. And we pray the Lord will bless you. We trust that you feel the warmth of our welcome this morning. To those who are visiting with us, we extend to you that special word of welcome as well. We're glad to see you today. And we pray the Lord will bless you as you join with us. On behalf of our congregation, our elders and our deacons and our entire congregation, we want to express our sympathy this morning to our dear sister Helen Bailey, on the death during the week of Helen's brother. And to you, Helen, we assure you of our prayers and our comfort and our support at this time, and also to Deborah, to James, to Johnny, and to Amy, and to Colin and to Stuart and your whole family at this time. We want you to know we've been praying for you, and we pray the Lord will comfort you and be with you at this very sad and difficult time. Can I just remind you of the meetings that are before us and the will of the Lord this week? Also, in welcoming everyone here, we also welcome those who are joining us online as well this morning. Can I remind you of our Sunday school and over in Hollywood, 2:30 this afternoon? Do remember that there in the Redburn Community Centre this afternoon. We meet for prayer this evening at 6 p.m. Do remember that, please join with us. And then we have our gospel service this evening at 6:30. And we'd love to see you all back again for the gospel meeting tonight at 6:30. Our sister Charlotte Cahy from Port of Ogie will be along to sing this evening. Tuesday night, that sees the recommencement of the Explorers Club for the boys and girls. And so do remember that much in your prayers, Tuesday at 7 p.m. Then on Thursday night at 8 o'clock, that will be our Bible study. And this Thursday night, in the will of the Lord, we're going to look at the subject of, is the age of revival over? Is the age of revival over? And so we want to deal with that subject this Thursday evening. And then after that, we will have the Lord's table. This being the third Thursday of the month, we will have the Lord's table after the Bible study on Thursday night. Next Lord's Day, Sunday school Bible class, 10:15. A.M. and then our prayer time at 11, and their morning service 11:30, Sunday school in Hollywood at 2:30, and the gospel service also preceded by the half hour of prayer at 6:30 next Sunday as well. And Natasha Atchison, God willing, will be here to sing. I want to thank you for your giving to the Missionary Council offering last Lord's Day. That came to a total of £347. I want to thank you very much for your giving, your generous giving to the Missionary Council offering last Sunday. Do remember all those who need our prayers. Many are unwell and sick in the congregation at this time, and do pray for them. Remember especially our sister Laura, Laura Gilpin, who is back in hospital, and do pray for Laura that she'll know the touch of the Master's hand upon her at this time. The Vision magazines are available today. They were available last Lord's Day, but if you didn't get them, please take them with you. They're all free of charge. If you're visiting, take one with you as well. You're more than welcome to those. Also, the Sandown Herald, still copies available, and the motto text cards. Please do remember those as well. They're all available today, and you can take those with you if you haven't got any as yet. Now, today, sadly, will be a day that we will have for the last time in our congregation one of the longest standing members of our congregation, and that is our sister Molly, Molly Kyle. Now, she's not with us this morning, God willing, she'll be here tonight. But Molly is moving up to Ballymoney to live with her son Paul and his wife Jane, and we will miss her. But we will say more about that not only tonight, but also hopefully on Thursday night when she will be with us, and we'll say a little more about that. But please do remember Molly very much in your prayers. As a congregation, we will miss her, and we pray the Lord will bless her as she goes to Ballymoney. Can I also remind you as well of the offering boxes? They're available for you there as you leave. Billy, we're going to ask you to come and sing for us again, please. Thank you.
My worth is not in what I own, not in the flesh of flesh and bone, but in the costly wounds of love at the cross. My worth is not in skill or name, in win or lose, in pride or shame, but in the blood of Christ that flowed at the cross. I rejoice in my Redeemer, greatest treasure wellspring of my soul. I will trust in him, no other. My soul is satisfied in him alone. As summer flowers we fade and die, fame, youth, and beauty hurry by. But life eternal calls to us at the cross. I will not boast in wealth or might, or human wisdom's fleeting light. But I will boast in knowing Christ at the cross. I rejoice in my Redeemer, greatest treasure, wellspring of my soul. I will trust in him, no other. My soul is satisfied in him alone. To wonders here that I confess my worth and my unworthiness, my value fixed, my ransom paid at the cross. I rejoice in my Redeemer, greatest treasure, wellspring of my soul. I will trust in him, no other. My soul is satisfied in him alone. I rejoice in my Redeemer, greatest treasure, wellspring of my soul. I will trust in him, no other. My soul is satisfied in him alone.
And our thanks to Billy for coming ministering to us in song. We've certainly been blessed by that ministry and song, and thank God today our worth is not in what we are, but in all that what Christ has done for us. Thank you, Billy, and the Lord bless you
for ministering to us. We've enjoyed that immensely this morning. Hebrews chapter 11, please. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 12, even. And the verse 15, Hebrews chapter 12 and the verse 15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. Can we just, if you can, stand, please, just to change our positions for a word of prayer before we come to his word for this morning. Heavenly Father, we come to thee today, and we come, O God, again in great need. We ask, O God, that you would come and help us. We pray, Lord, that this morning, Lord, as we come around the word of God, Lord, that you'll take thy word. We thank thee, Lord, for thy presence already with us. Thank thee, Lord, for the blessing, Lord, that Billy's ministry and song has been to us all. And Lord, we pray now that the word of God will be that blessing to us all. Speak to us. And Lord, we pray that you'll speak to this preacher. Ask, O God, that you'll fill me with the Holy Ghost, with power. I need thee, O Lord. O God, we pray that you'll come, empty me of self, and fill me with thyself. So hear and answer prayer. Give us help to preach and help to hear. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Warren Wiersbe wrote a book entitled Victorious Christian. And it was about the lady, the well-known hymn writer, Fanny Crosbury.
Now, we all know that Fanny Crosby wrote many hymns, over 8,000 hymns. One of them we even sang at the commencement of our service today. And oftentimes she had to write hymns under a fictitious name in order just to get them written into hymn books because she wrote so many. But if you know anything of the life of Fanny Crosby, you'll know that at the age of 6 years old, she developed a minor eye inflammation, and she was taken to a local doctor for treatment. However, the doctor who treated her used the wrong medication on her eyes, and she became totally and permanently blind as a result. Interviewed many years later, Fanny Crosby said, or was asked, did she harbor any bitterness towards the physician that gave her the wrong medication? Fanny Crosby said no. Because she said, in fact, if I could meet him now, I would say thank you over and over again for making me blind. Because she felt that her blindness was a gift from God that helped her to write hymns that flowed from her heart. You see, Fanny Crosby could so easily have reacted in a very different way and become bitter towards the one that caused her blindness. And sadly today, resentment and bitterness is all too common a reality in the hearts of Christians. One Christian hurts another Christian, and that Christian who is hurt becomes very bitter and resents that other Christian because of that. And as a result, as we will see, it consumes them. Therefore, is it any wonder that the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes here in Hebrews chapter 12 and the verse 15, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. Oh, we can all be guilty of holding grudges. We can all feel bitterness towards someone. It's something I think that we all battle with. And therefore today, it is to this subject of bitterness that I want us to turn our attention to. And how we can deal with it. And how we can seek to overcome this bitterness before it overcomes us. First thing I want you to notice here in Hebrews 12 and verse 15 is the definition of bitterness. The definition of bitterness. You'll find in our text this morning there in verse 15 that little term, the root of bitterness. And to get us to understand here what the Holy Spirit is talking about, we do well to consider this word bitterness itself. The word itself simply means to cut. Or something which is sharp and pointed, which cuts into us. And something which cuts into our senses, and as a result, it causes that bitter spirit. Now, could consider this a little more as we think of the definition of it. Notice the pain. Just look a little more at that thought of that bite in verse 15, the bitterness, the bite, the cut. Something or someone has bitten us. Doesn't mean physically, of course. But perhaps they have spoken ill about us. They have offended us. They have told lies about us. They have spoken about us behind our backs. They have slandered us. They have slung all sorts of mud toward us. They have bitten us. And that's painful. And it is important when we consider the subject of bitterness to say that it is hard not to feel hurt and pain because of the actions of others toward us. Yes, of course, there are those people, and it just seems that they allow everything to flow off their backs, as the expression goes, like water off a duck's back. But that's hard. Very few people are like that. We all feel the pain and the bite of the hurt, of disappointment, of hurtful words or actions. We feel that pain. We feel that bite. You think last week we were thinking of King David. and the awful experiences that he had at the hands of his own son. He was hurt by it. He was affected by it. In Psalm 61, in the verse 2, he talks about being at the very end of the earth because of the rebellion, of the pain, of the bite, of hatred towards him. He felt it. He felt he was at wit's end corner. Now, for one minute, I am not saying, or do I believe, that the Bible is teaching us that we are wrong to feel hurt when we are bitten by some bitterness. Broad shoulders or no broad shoulders, thick skin or no thick skin, it isn't easy to allow those things just to run off us and to forget about us. Forget about it. But it is how we react that's all important. It's what we do with those bites that's all important. Because that brings us not only to the pain in this definition of bitterness, but I want you to notice as well the poison in this definition. I want you to keep your finger there in Hebrews chapter 12 and come over with me to another time when the word bitterness is used. In Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 8. Because while we have talked about this bite that hurts us, sadly that bite can fester, it can grow, it can build up, it can consume us, and as a result it becomes a poison. In Acts chapter 8 in the verse 23, Peter is speaking here to Simon the sorcerer, Simon Magus. And look in verse 23, he says this, Acts chapter 8 and the verse 23. He says, "For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." That word gall there means poison. He was in the poison of bitterness. He had allowed bitterness to infect him and to affect all of his body. It affected all of him. His character, his conduct, his demeanor. And that's why I say that bitterness, while yes, there's the pain of it, if that bitterness is not dealt with, it can become a poison. And it can be that awful cancer that if it's not checked or dealt with, it can, yes, start so small just in one place, but very quickly it can spread elsewhere, and soon the whole body is affected by it. And like Simon, we can be in the gall of bitterness. And notice who this is here in Acts chapter 8, Simon the sorcerer. I think Simon the sorcerer probably is one of the biggest counterfeit Christians in the whole of the book of Acts. He had all the appearances of Christianity, but he was about to be exposed. He saw the apostles command the power of the Holy Spirit, and he wanted it, and he was willing to pay for it, but they said, "You can't have it by money." You see, Simon was a man who loved power. He was going to lose that power. He would do anything to get that power, to keep that power, even buy it with money. And yet he becomes bitter because he's not allowed or cannot have what he wants. And Peter says, or Simon says to him, "You're bitter. You're bitter. You're consumed with bitterness." But to Simon the sorcerer, he was the victim. Everyone else was the problem, and because such was the bitterness that poisoned his life. We take time to go on through chapter 8 of the book of Acts. You'll see how that the Holy Spirit left him. But is this overcoming by bitterness that I want us to take note of? Because here was Simon, overcome with this poison of bitterness. Everybody else was wrong, he was right. And that's, you see, what bitterness can do. It can poison a life. It can destroy a life. But I want us to move on and see not only the definition of bitterness, but I want us to go back to Hebrews chapter 12 and see now the domination of bitterness. The domination of bitterness. And this is where we really want to center our thoughts upon just now. Following on from what we've just said, back in Hebrews chapter 12 and the verse 15, it talks about the root of bitterness. Look at it there in verse 15, lest any root of bitterness, note these words, springing up. Springing up. You think of that little seed that's planted in the ground. Very soon that root develops and grows and it springs up, it takes over. And the warning here is about the root of bitterness, that which can seem so small and start so small, yet very quickly it can spring up and it can overtake you. It can dominate you. As we think of this domination of bitterness, I want you to notice the growth of it. Because I think the warning there in verse 15 is very, very stark. Bitterness starts as a root, a small thing, starts as something which is unseen initially. It's underground, but then it springs up. Then it comes to the surface. Then it grows rapidly and it takes over. Like that ivy plant which can grow very quickly, and you've often seen it spread over the front of houses. It starts for something very small at the bottom, but quickly, it takes over and covers the entire facade of the house. Bitterness can do the same thing in our lives. Lest any root of bitterness spring up. Bitterness towards someone can consume us, can take over our lives, and again and again and again we find our minds and our conversations being drawn to take into that person or that incident that we are bitter against. And very quickly as well, anybody or anyone who has an association with that person or has an association with that particular incident, you're bitter towards them as well. You're resentful towards them as well, even though they may have nothing to do with it. It's that topic of conversation that you keep coming back to again and again. It's like that leech that sticks to that body. That bitter spirit just sticks there and it stays there. It has sprung up. That's what the warning of Scripture is here about bitterness. As we think of this domination, we've noticed the growth of it. But I want us as well to notice the gloom of this domination. Someone who is consumed with bitterness towards another person or a group of people, they're very gloomy. They criticize everything and they criticize everyone. They find fault everywhere. They are cynics. They are critics. And they're always very pessimistic, very gloomy people in general. They're down on everything and down on everybody. And you see, folks, it's almost a state of depression that they've got themselves into because of this bitterness, because they've allowed it to spring up. There's no joy in their lives. There's no contentment. And emotionally and mentally, bitterness can have a devastating effect on our lives. But not only on us, but very quickly on those around us. Notice verse 15 again. Springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. That sin of bitterness, which we have not checked, springs up, it takes over us, controls our life, and by it we contaminate everybody around us. And sadly, regrettably, we live in a world where people are not willing to deal with an old hurt and carry grudges on shoulders constantly and continually. And they look for things to criticize, and they find fault here, there, and everywhere. And they try to justify the way they feel. But you do not know what someone did to me. Generally, they're bitter people, overcome with bitterness that's dominated and controlled their life. I'm no doctor, but I do know people who are so overcome with bitterness that it has affected them physically. An awful, bitter spirit, and it has destroyed their physical life and their strength. That bite of bitterness damages the physical body in which that bitterness is stored. Bitterness can affect us emotionally, mentally, and physically. There's the growth of this bitterness, there's the gloom of this bitterness, but I want you to see something more here. There's the grief of this bitterness. As we've said, it can affect us emotionally, mentally, physically. But far more importantly, it can affect us spiritually. The greatest grief of bitterness is how bitterness can affect us in our spiritual lives. Look at verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest any man fail of the grace of God. It doesn't mean that the grace of God has failed. No, not at all. But rather it has failed that we have failed. We have failed to lay hold of the grace of God whereby we can deal with this bitterness. We fail to benefit and partake in the grace of God in our lives. And as a result, we are affected spiritually. The bitter heart is not benefiting from God's grace. And so there's a wandering from the Lord. Because sadly, bitterness can lead to backsliding. Bitterness can lead us away from the Lord rather than to the Lord. A stored up hatred against another Christian, and that leads to a lack of worship. Failure to attend the house of God because so-and-so said this to me and so-and-so did that against me. The command of God to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together is set aside because of a bitter heart. I know today that there are people who would not come to church, and they have told me they'll never through the doors of a church, and what they'll do, they'll go down to the seaside, and they'll sit on a Sunday morning and they'll worship God in their car because of bitterness. And they think they're doing right. There are people today, I know, they're down at Sea Park worshiping God in their car, watching the waves because of a bitter spirit. There's no book, chapter, or verse for sitting at Sea Park watching the waves and worshiping God. But you see, whenever bitterness overtakes you, you can have your own notions and nobody will change you from that. No longer active in the work of God. No desire for the souls of men. No desire to go on outreach. No desire to do a leaflet drop. No desire to do anything. Because you're consumed with this bitterness, it has dominated you. No desire to worship God. no desire to work for God, and sadly, no witness for God. Do you know there's nothing so off-putting to the world than a Christian who is filled up with revenge and hatred? It's no advertisement for the gospel. The domination of bitterness, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. Do you see what the Holy Spirit is seeking to impress upon us? That root of bitterness, if it springs up, it's not going to help us. It's going to trouble us. That's why the warning is here in Scripture concerning bitterness. There's the definition of bitterness. There's the domination of bitterness. But finally, as we close this morning, I want us to notice the demolition of bitterness. The demolition of bitterness. How can bitterness be removed? How can it be demolished? How can we avoid those little bites of hurt and pain, that root of bitterness? How can we avoid them springing up and overtaking us? First of all, I would suggest to you that we need to acknowledge the problem. Look at verse 15 again. Looking diligently. Looking diligently. This is a call for self-examination in every heart and in every life. Looking diligently. Do you know, folks, it's the easiest thing in the world to see the bitterness and the resentment in the hearts of others. But do we see it in our own lives? Do I see it in my life? As I've said, one of the great tragedies of those who are overcome by bitterness, they're always the victim. They've done no wrong. Everybody else is wrong. And they fail to acknowledge the problem in their own lives. Harboring bitterness against that person may not and probably will not change that person, but it most certainly will change you. You're allowing bitterness to rob you of the joy of Christ, the joy of serving Christ. Folks, we can't control what happens to us. We can't. But I tell you what we can do. We can control what happens within us. And we need to look diligently, lest we're failing of the grace of God, lest that root of bitterness within us is springing up. We need self-examination. We need, like the psalmist in Psalm 139, to pray, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and see if there be some wicked way in me. Search me." Look diligently. You see, God doesn't call us to live a life of hurt. But rather, He calls us to live a life of holiness. Continuing to be a better Christian will not make us a better Christian. Verse 14, look what it says. Follow peace with all men and holiness. Holiness. Follow peace with all men. That doesn't mean we're going to get on with everybody. We're not. And especially with those who hurt us and pained us. But it means getting past that and beyond that. You say, "Preacher, you don't know what happened to me. You don't know what somebody did for me, and I know that down through the years there have been some awful things done to other Christians. I know that." But I do know this, that if you allow the hurt and pain that is done to you to grow and to fester and to contaminate and to control your life, then you are not following a life of holiness. And we must move on from that which others have sought to do to us. And let the Lord deal with that person who has hurt us, grieved us, or pained us. We have to acknowledge the problem. But also we have to accept the plan. What is God's plan for dealing with bitterness? Let me read it to you very quickly in the book of Ephesians chapter 4 in the verse 31. It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. That little term, be put away, simply means to discard, to leave off. And in the very next verse, if you're in Ephesians 5, look at the very next verse, verse 32. And folks, this is where the rubber hits the road. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. That's the key. We may not forget what has been done to us, but we pray for God's grace to forgive what has been done to us. You may have been ill-treated and dealt with very badly and harshly, and I do not diminish that for one minute. I do not deny that. But look what verse 32 continues to say. Ephesians 4, verse 32. Forgiving one another, why? Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I'm sure there's hardly anyone today who have not been hurt. That bite of bitterness has not come your way. Can I say in love to your souls that no matter how ill-treated we have may been by others, there is no one who has been so ill-treated as Christ. He took all of my sins, past, present, and future. And he could so easily have said, but no, Father, you don't know what that person has done to me. You don't know what that person has said about me. He could so easily have done that. But you know what he did? On the cross he cried, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. Where would we be today if Christ had not forgiven us of our sins? Therefore, is it too much to ask that we forgive others who have wronged us? Maybe we need to get to the cross. We do need to get to the cross. Mr. Spurgeon, speaking on this subject, he said, let us go to Calvary. Let us go to Calvary to learn how we may be forgiven. And then he said, let us stay at Calvary to learn how we may forgive. That person may never accept our forgiveness or acknowledge our forgiveness. That's for them to answer before God for. You can't control that, but you can control how you conduct the rest of your life. Let all bitterness be put away. man was walking past, a little boy, sitting on a park bench. As the man saw the wee boy, he was clearly in absolute agony. The man turned, stopped, and asked the wee boy what was wrong. The wee boy answered and said, "This bumblebee has just stung me. And now I'm going to sit on this bumblebee because I think I'm going to do more harm to it than it did to me. I figure that by me sitting on this bumblebee, I'm hurting it more than it hurt me." The wise old man said, "No, don't be a fool, young boy. Just get off the park bench and get on with it." And sometimes we can sit on that sting, that pain of bitterness. Maybe we need to get off the park bench. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. How can we demolish bitterness? Let God reveal it. Let grace restrain it. And let good replace it. God, give us all the grace to deal with the hurt. The hurt that has been done to us, His grace to move on from that and to follow peace with all men and holiness. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. May God help us by His grace to deal with the bitterness and the bites that have been done to us, lest we feel of the grace of God.